Hello and welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. I'm your host Ace, and joining me are Artura.
Ohayo, Bokuwa, Princess Hime.
And Gozagoz.
Sakurugumitai, Nagai Sakurugumi.
In today's episode, we're talking about Super Mario Bros. Great Mission to Rescue Princess Peach, aka Super Mario Bros. Peach Hime Kyushutsu Daisakusen, a movie from 1989. I chose this one because the latest Mario movie is out, but it's not an anime, so we're not going to cover it on this podcast.
I'll keep it defined anime.
Loosely defined.
It's a cartoon made by Japanese people.
Great Mission to Rescue Princess Peach was produced by Grouper Productions, who I can find no information on, and Shochiku, the studio behind Cardcaptor Sakura the Movie and Cardcaptor Sakura the Movie 2. Super Mario Bros. Great Mission to Rescue Princess Peach currently has a My Animalist score of 5.60. This is based on the Mario franchise, obviously. It came out a year after Super Mario Bros. On the Nintendo Entertainment System. Apparently, Mario really hit it big, which is why they've done absolutely no anime between this one and now. My summary for this is... When Mario is asked for help, he takes his brother to another world to stop a wedding. Artura, what did you get?
I accompany Mario and his brother Luigi on a quest to save Princess Peach by gathering three items. A mushroom, a flower, and a star. To defeat the evil King Bowser, who wishes to... marry her?
And Gozagoz?
Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo are playing video games and getting high at their Super Mario Brothers grocery store in the Grand Canyon, as they often did in the 80s, when some weird fucked up dog shows up and leads them on an adventure to get money and women.
As usual, can't really disagree with that.
I mean, to be fair, the dog doesn't lead them to get money. That's just Luigi's, like, ulterior motive in the end.
Don't absolve Mario. We'll get into it, but Mario is just as greedy as his brother.
Oh, it's okay. They're all Japanese. Everyone's greedy and over there.
Oh, and there's the race.
Oh, and we're off the air. Oh, no.
I've been playing Smite, okay? I've seen the god Danzaburo. He's greedy.
Right, well, getting into the movie, we open on Mario playing a video game and being served tea by his brother Luigi, who he ignores. There's a power surge before the game is replaced by Princess Peach being chased by some Spinies and Koopa paratroopers before she whacks them with a stick.
I want to ask, what Super Famicom game is Mario playing? The protagonist looks like the one from NES, that kid.
That's true, he does have baseball. I've never played that game that NES is from, but I know which one you're on about because I played Super Smash Bros. Melee.
Yeah, I thought it looked like NES too. Just that, you know, it looked weird that he was just beating everything up and back, and then suddenly everything went black and Princess Peach was there, and I was like, wait a minute, that's not a real game.
That's what made you think, okay. She's then floored by several enemy types before being flung out of the TV breasts first into Mario's face. The enemies follow and then go around the place. There's some explosions and then the enemies are gone. That's not explained at all. Peach somehow knows Mario's name as she thanks him, but is interrupted when King Koopa appears on the TV. And suddenly he comes through the TV and defeats Mario easily before kidnapping Peach and going back into the TV.
And then I was like, wait, that's not a real game.
Luigi comes to find out what the noise is, but leaves before Mario notices Princess Peach's necklace appearing behind him. And we fade to the titles. Song wasn't bad on first listening.
Yeah.
To be honest, I wished it was the whole thing was like a musical with Japanese Beach Boys type songs. Every time I was like rocking back and forth, they had music and then they didn't. And I was bored.
We opened back on the grocery store where Mario and Luigi work and possibly own, where Mario is distracted due to the kidnapping and is handling the necklace when Luigi spots it, recognizing it as a mystical gem from Toad Legend. You know, from the video game that Luigi somehow has a book about, which says that this stone shall guide its master to a land of treasure. I did write, who wants to bet that the treasurer was the princesses we met along the way?
Wait, is the legend from a video game that Luigi has a book about?
That's what it looked like. Because she seems to have come out of a video game, and then Luigi suddenly realizes, hey, I recognize that from this book. See, it's in this book.
Yeah, I bought this strategy guide for that video game. It must be real.
Well, there was some product placement later, so...
We need to find that video game now and play it.
With no idea where this land of treasure is, Mario calls up Directory Inquiries, something that hasn't existed for about 30 years at this point. A voice screams at him that they're going to pick him up, before a dog creature walks in, grabs the necklace, and makes a break for it.
The voice says he's going to get picked up even before like he explains what he wants, which got me confused.
Yeah, it's implied that it's the Yeti sent the dog and was waiting on the phone for Mario to pick up the phone somehow.
Did you?
Yes, I called him a Yeti because he looks like a Yeti. Prove me wrong.
I thought he looked like that old guy from that cartoon, Once Upon a Time Life, or that old druid from Asterix.
Yeah, kind of. But to me, he didn't have robes on. That was all hair. When there's a close-up of, you can see his hands, his fingers. There's nothing covering his hands. Just the white stops and pink fingers are there. So it's definitely hair. It's not clothes he's wearing. He's just covered in hair. But we'll get to him in a minute. The brothers give chase to the dog creature while that song we just heard at the credits plays again. The chase ends when they isekai themselves via a pipe and land in front of a Yeti with a staff and a bald head who welcomes them to the Mushroom Kingdom. The brothers excitedly exclaim that it's another name for the Land of Treasure.
Look, I just say we call him Hermit Merlin and move on.
No. I wrote Yeti so many times in my notes, I'm not changing it.
Damn it.
I wanted to call him Gandalf the White, but...
Gandalf the Yeti.
Gandalf the Yeti. Yeti the White.
The Yeti explains the plot that the Koopa clan has invaded because Peach turned down King Koopa's marriage proposal. And my next note skips over the dancing, so did anyone want to talk about the dancing?
No, what? I want to forget that.
Was there dancing? I must have, like, repressed that memory.
Must have had a stroke that time. Yes, the brothers are dancing and they're so happy that the princess has been kidnapped. Oh, wait, the princess has been kidnapped. We cut to the Toad Village, which is being bombed, and it made me wonder, how do toad houses work? They are mushrooms, but they live in bigger mushrooms?
By the way, I love that cut to the Mushroom Village. It was like, in my head, it was, meanwhile, on planet Namek.
It stays there, we see some explosions, and then it's like, yeah, back to the bros and the Yeti.
Meanwhile, people are getting killed somewhere.
The Yeti explains that King Koopa used magic to turn people into bricks, horsetails, and more. We never see any that have been turned into bricks or horsetails, so that's a lie. Apparently the Mario Bros are the twins of legend, who will journey from the east in sailor caps and overalls, with cute mustaches.
Very specific.
Yes. Also twins.
Where was that prophecy written by Shigeru Miyamoto?
Wait a minute, that's a good point. Twins? There's no way one of them is fatter. I mean, wait, sorry.
I mean, I knew twins who looked nothing alike.
But me too.
Yeah, John Leguizamo and Bob
as different as John Leguizamo and Bob Hoskins, no. After revealing the prophecy, Mario inexplicably turns into a Mexican desperado from an old Western movie when it's revealed that King Koopa wants to force Peach to marry him.
I thought you were referencing Yosemite Sam, because he jumps angrily and shoots in the air.
Yeah, he's wearing a Mexican-style hat and a poncho.
Because he's Italian.
That's not what...
I mean, everyone knows.
Yeti tells them to find 3 power-ups and to defeat King Koopa. The mushroom, the flower, and the star.
Might I mention that the mushroom and the flower, instead of looking like the ones from the game, look like just regular mushrooms and flowers.
Yep. And the star, later we see it's really tiny.
Yeah, it's so small.
The scale was like, the wrong scale of things was a big theme throughout this anime. Everything is either too big or too small.
I think the design bible that the studio was given didn't have heights. It just, here's the designs. Okay, we got the vague design down. How big is it? I don't know. It's this big. Okay.
Mario uses the mushroom that makes him bigger and it turns him into a Gundam size.
No, it's just canon. It turns out that he actually is that big. I had no idea. Oh, I mean, did you not see the size of the enemies?
Is it in the game? Is it like an optic illusion?
Yeah, when he eats the mushroom and grows taller, the camera actually moves away.
Exactly.
Anyway, the boys leave on their quest and the Yeti withers, disappears, turns into mushrooms. I have no idea. He's no longer there, and there are some old mushrooms where he used to be.
Which implies that they were high and he was an illusion that they saw.
Later, as they camp for the night, some Goombas convince Luigi to follow them to get some mushrooms.
Wait, you skipped the theme song again.
I skipped the theme song.
We're going to sing it every time it pops up. You guys ready?
No. Mario follows, but it's too late. Luigi has taken some shrooms and is tripping balls.
Yeah.
Mario tries to help, but is abducted by a Koopa paratrooper to be fed to its young. They were birds, not turtles, but they call it Mama.
It's also worth mentioning that the Koopa paratrooper is ginormous.
Yes, it is. It is an airplane.
And the babies are just like Mario-sized. In fact, they're bigger than Mario, that's very real.
Being dropped in the nest, Mario drugs the chicks, and by the time the Koopa paratrooper returns with Luigi, has convinced them that he's a chick too, and uses this to prove that Luigi isn't food they can eat, but the mother should go and get steak. This somehow works, and Mario winds up saying they should climb the cliffs they're stuck on, because they can't go down, only to realize that the mushroom power-up is literally just above them.
Oh my god, what a coincidence.
Mario gets the mushroom, but they fall out of the nest in a shower of gold coins, and on the ground, the coins turn into toads. Girl toads.
Yeah, I was really excited to just scream at this part, but the rest of the movie took away my will.
Well, we never know what... maybe do toads have, like, genders?
There's Toad and... Captain Toad and Toadette. Toadette is feminine and Captain Toad is masculine. I figured they were genderless.
Maybe they're not different physically.
Okay, but see, the problem is that... yeah, I can see how they're genderless... but the ones in this movie are very evidently feminine.
Yep, including the long eyelashes on a couple of them.
Yes, and the very squeaky voices.
Long eyelashes is animation shorthand for this character as girl.
I don't know, I found Mario and Luigi very feminine.
Me too, especially that mustache. I wish I could grow one like that.
And then later Mario is a ballerina.
And that got even more confusing. Is Mario genderless? I don't know.
Genderqueer Mario in 1986. Nintendo ahead of the curve for once.
I mean, did we ever see Mario's junk in any of the games?
I mean, we've seen his arms twice, so... And one of those was an advert for the Game Boy Advance SP.
You do realize we have seen Mario's penis, right? Not in the games, but we have seen it.
Oh,
I didn't. Now I did. Thank you for that.
Why did you find that manga panel you've just shown us in Discord?
I don't remember. I saw it quite recently.
And saved it. That's why it's in your gallery. With the mushroom power-up in their hands, they continue their journey, with the Goombas turning them down the wrong way. They're attacked by piranha plants, and Mario uses black pepper he pulls out of his crotch to help them escape.
Oh, so it's black pepper. It's not a...
It was either keep pepper down there or keep a rolled up pair of socks down there to make it look like... Anyway, a Lakuti appears and attacks them, angry for the piranha plants being mistreated. The bros are saved from Spinies by a vine growing under Mario's butt, and Mario attacks Lakuti, stealing part of its cloud and, quote-unquote, saving Luigi from Spinies by making it snow.
I think that was the worst sequence in this anime. Like, it dragged on for so long, I was so bored out of my mind.
Oh, what controls do I do? Oh, it's raining, and now it's sunny, and now we'll do a blizzard, and...
The sequence is almost 10 minutes long, and it felt eternal at double speed.
No, was it?
Yes. It's... They arrive at the field at around 22, and they finally leave in this next song plays at 30, so it's 8 minutes long.
That's almost a sixth of the movie.
Damn it. Every few moments I was going, just get on with it. It's not that complicated. You threw balls. You revealed they're not just balls. They make just pull the lever and make them turn into things. God damn it. You don't need to show us every step of the way.
As the sun melts the snow, somehow another toad is turned back to normal, having been a cloud, and hands over the flower power-up.
What a coincidence.
They travel, again with the music, again, and prove once and for all in this Nintendo-licensed product that they do headbutt blocks to get coins and ramen out of them.
I didn't expect that product placement. It was the most jarring thing in this until the next product placement.
I thought you might have something to say about the fact that they headbutt the blocks rather than what people have been arguing for years. No, see, there's a pixel above, above the head, which means that they're punching it. Well, not in this Nintendo licensed film.
Well, what can I say? I'm doing the Chandler thing where I just try to forget, but with this entire movie.
The Goombas use the bros' greed to lure them the wrong way in some caves and seal them in a gold mine. Luigi keeps digging for gold despite the fact they're trapped, and he could use his pickaxe against the wooden bars keeping them in, then use it to stab the hammer bro standing outside. Or, you know, the fire flower power that we saw Mario use while they were traveling again.
Yeah, because Luigi doesn't give a fuck about anything, he's just looking for gold. I wish they took this to more extreme degree where he's just stumbling upon gold everywhere, like he takes a step and there's coins spilling out of the ground. I mean, eventually that happens, but not soon enough. It should get much, much more ridiculous.
There should be so many coins he doesn't want anymore.
No, I think he should just stuff all of them in his sack.
Please specify which sack, please.
He's carrying a sack on his back. I don't mean his ball sack.
Thank you.
We cut to Peach wondering where Mario is while her husband-to-be tries to plan their happy day at the last minute. Peach convinces King Koopa, despite him being so busy, to play dress-up and turn himself into various things she's making up, and then locks him in a box when he turns into a teddy. Of course, he returns to normal, his normal massive size, and breaks free, then reveals that Mario has been captured.
I like that little, like, the little trick that she played on him. I wish they took that a little further and had her escape, try to escape.
I wish she'd have grabbed the teddy bear and thrown him out the window, which was beside her.
Maybe just rip the teddy bear's head off.
Well, that might not work. Throwing him out the window would.
Or set him on fire.
Meanwhile, in the cave, Mario daydreams about Peach, and we get another musical number. Luigi, however, has dug an escape tunnel. The bros manage to escape from the Hammer Bro, and Luigi throws the star power-up into the ocean by mistake. Mario dives in to get it, and Luigi reveals that he can't swim. Mario eventually retrieves the star from a clam and is chased by a Cheep Cheep, using a sunken flying ship to escape, and retrieving Luigi as they take to the sky, adding to Mario lore that these ships existed before Super Mario Bros. 3. With another song, or maybe the same song again, I lost track, they make their way to King Koopa's palace. The wedding gets underway, and the happy couple take their vows, but are interrupted by the bros arriving.
And the most ridiculous scene where, you know, they're blowing the sail with their own wind, and then something goes wrong, and then they start paddling in the air, and everything's still floating, but it's falling apart. Oh, gosh.
And I'm pretty sure the ship goes back and forth between different states of decomposition. Like, at one point, it's just the skeleton, so to speak, and later the ship has some planks attached to it again.
Did continuity in this was not strong, of course.
No, I think they just broke the game by that point. That's why the ship started flying in the first place. The gravity got turned off. The ship started recovering damage instead of taking it.
King Koopa takes Peach and the priest to continue in private, and Mario gives chase. Through platforming puzzles and the Goombas causing hassle, Luigi, of all people, winds up giving Mario the upper hand by flooding a fire pit.
Well, not that he planned it, he was just so greedy that it eventually happened.
And by a coincidence, it worked. What a coincidence!
King Koopa gives Peach a ring which is big enough that it would probably fit around her waist before the castle begins falling apart thanks to Luigi's meddling. Peach gives Mario the credit for saving her, but King Koopa attacks. Mario takes too long to remember that the three power-ups are in his pocket, and he eats, well, two of them before he gets distracted by Mario brand rice flavoring.
Again.
Get it. Go buy it. Go buy it now. Order it on Amazon.
King Koopa attacks, sending the star, which he hadn't eaten, into a hole. And because of his screw-up, Peach offers herself to save Mario's life. But that's enough of a distraction, because Luigi once again saves the day and feeds Mario the star. Mario beats the crap out of King Koopa, swinging him around by his tail and throwing him a decade before Super Mario 64 would let the players do that. With King Koopa gone, the spell is broken, and Peach's castle returns. When Mario hands back her necklace, Peach mentions that legend says a prince will one day appear that has the same necklace. As luck would have it, the prince has been with the bros all along. I've just not been talking about it because I knew it would be something stupid.
Yeah, I was like, what the hell is that dog?
Yes, the Yeti had sent the dog creature thing from the start along with the bros, but it hadn't been doing much. It, like, bit a couple of things and...
Mostly Luigi.
Oh, it tickled the clam to let Mario out of it.
Which it learned to do by reading a book.
Yes, it did.
It was probably Luigi's strategy guide.
The dog creature turns into a human prince with a matching necklace, and I'm vindicated in my theory that it'd be something stupid. The prince is Prince Haru from the Flower Kingdom, and this crushes Mario, though he tells Peach that her happiness is his happiness, despite his heartbreak. The bros decide to return to their shop, and as they leave, the Yeti appears from out of nowhere to tell us our lesson. True courage is born from true love, and that is the real power-up.
And then you get fucked for loving by getting cock-blocked by a prince turned into a fucking dango dog. That's what you get.
Get cock-blocked by legend. And then we get the credits.
Yes, and then we, you know, we sing the happy song once again. Yes, yes, gonna love you. Yes, yes, gonna want you. We are super. Bye, everyone.
And then we get a post-credit scene where a lady goes into the Mario Bros. Store to buy something, and King Koopa serves her. And she does a look to the camera like, da-da-da-da-da-da. So, was this a good adaptation?
No, they're not supposed to run a grocery store. They're supposed to be plumbers.
They're supposed to be Italian.
Those are the only two issues.
Otherwise, I guess it's pretty okay.
Surprisingly, no, I thought it was. At least for the world, if not for the plot of the game.
I assume that the plumbers and Italian stuff like came after this anime, so I didn't actually bother me, but it was weird that they run a grocery store in the desert.
I don't know, I hated every bit of it because, like, there's combat, there's no platforming, there's a weird dog prince. Some platforming, but not that much. They stumbled upon everything. Mario does. I thought he was going to eat each of the power-ups as he got them and get, like, new skills. But no, he just, like, wolfs all of them down at the end and nothing happens, really. He just kind of, like, beats Bowser up. Like,
the thing about those power-ups is after he gets each one, we see it in action, but that's only while they're traveling during the song. He doesn't actually use it to help obtain the next thing.
Yeah, it's so stupid.
I assume that he could, if he fought to do it, he could use them independently, but at the end he had to, like, stew all of them in his stomach acids, like, to fight Bowser. That's why he had to eat them. But he could use them independently at any time. He just was a fucking idiot.
So, was this a Yata, Nani, or a Baka, Arturo?
Is there anything below Baka that I can do? Like, maybe it's time we revolutionize the system. We just put below Baka, we just call a new category, Mario.
Okay. Girls, what about you?
I'm just going to say Nani. I'm not going to try to invent a lower score than the lowest. I think someone would enjoy this, probably little kids, maybe, because that's...
Japanese kids?
Yes, little Japanese kids.
Or Italian kids.
No, not Italian.
Or Mexican kids.
Well, Mexican kids would enjoy the Yosemite Sam section of the anime, which was like 3 seconds.
For me, it was a Yata. It's dumb and fun. I enjoyed it. I laughed several times.
I wish they would
not even air through the nose laugh, full on laugh.
I wish they would remake this.
No, I wish we would just all forget about it. Let's just leave, you know, Rescue Princess Peach and back where it belongs in the 80s and just move on.
I wish they would remake this and take everything to an extreme level.
So, and deserve its minimalist score of 5.60.
Sure,
I think it's good enough, I guess.
I'd give a 7. It loses points for production value, but it's entertaining as heck.
I hate you.
Next episode, we're going to watch it again.
Can we watch Super Mario Bros. Super Show instead?
No, it's not anime.
Please just give me Galarian's Rion.
We haven't had one this divisive before. It's fun.
Well, I'm just straight in the middle, so like...
Right, well, that brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you for joining me, Arthur and Gozgoz.
Thank you for having us.
Arigato.
We are super.
You're super. We are Mario Mario, Ace Mario, Artura Mario, and Goris Goris Mario.
Bokara Super.
I don't know what that means.
We are super. That's what they say in the song.
They sang it 40,000 times.
How did you not learn it, Goris?
I think it's the accent that Ace has. It sounded like Korean.
It sounded Italian.
Thank you for listening to the Pals Anime Lounge, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGreen.com, finding us on social media, or listening to the Greencast podcast. And until next time, game on.